Venerable brothers and sisters and dear parishioners, today is the feast, as we know, of the circumcision, when our Lord submits to the law of Moses, which decreed that each male boy, 8 days after birth, was to undergo this ritual, this shedding of blood. And customarily, a name would be given to the boy in this on this occasion. And when we think about it, it is truly amazing. It's an amazing, awe-inspiring thought that God would obey the law of Moses. It should be most obvious to us. It should be most clear that Jesus had no obligation to obey the law. After all, who's higher, Moses or Jesus, the incarnate God? God does not have to obey any of his creatures. He's the creator. Even one as great as Moses, the great lawgiver, to whom God had given such great authority in the Old Testament that he could lay down and was to lay down thousands of laws for the chosen people. So even one as great as that, Jesus was under no obligation to obey. And yet, he obeys. He submits. And he will actually his whole life obey. On Candlemas Day, we see another example of obedience. This is Mary going up to the temple for a ritual purification for all mothers. For 40 days after birth, Jewish mothers were not allowed to go to the temple. They were allowed after 40 days was over, and they would offer, have their firstborn son offered, and then buy him back with either a gift of lambs or turtle doves. And so on February 2nd, we will be reflecting upon the obedience of Our Lady. But what's also so striking here is that Mary did not incur any legal stain, if we want to call it that, or legal implication. She's the mother of God. And yet, what is she going to do? Just like Jesus does on his circumcision day, she is going to obey the Mosaic law, even though, as Mother of God, there was no need for her to do so. So the message is very obvious then to us all. We see obedience on the part of Jesus. We see obedience on the part of Mary. Before they would ever preach it to anybody, they would already practice it. And why was it fitting? Why was it necessary for this to happen? Because, my dear brethren, we know this very well, the human race got messed up by disobedience. What did our first parents do? They disobeyed God. They knew very clearly that they could enjoy the whole garden of paradise, the whole garden of Eden. They could enjoy all of the fruits, all of the vegetables. I mean, it was a garden of delights. It was a heaven on earth. But there was that one command, don't eat of this tree. Enjoy everything else, but obey. And they couldn't do it. Well, they could have. They didn't want to. They didn't do it. they disobeyed. And look at the ruin they brought on all of their children. Adam and Eve knew very well they were the parents of the whole human race. They knew that billions of children would come from them, and that whatever they did would have those far-reaching consequences. If they obeyed, their children would inherit their preternatural gifts. If they didn't obey, grave consequences would come. And it happened. So, my dear brethren, disobedience ruined it. And the only way to fix disobedience is obedience. And that's why Jesus and Mary obeyed. To give us an example. In the gradual of today, it says, you know, God used to speak, or many times God spoke through His prophets, but now God is speaking through His Son. That's the great difference that St. Paul exclaimed in his, I believe, his letter to the Hebrews. We don't need the prophets anymore to tell us what will happen, how God will bless us. Jesus is speaking to us right now. Look at the stable. What is it? It is a shining manifestation of obedience. Jesus obeys His Heavenly Father. He's born in a stable, the most humiliating circumstances. And why is He born in a stable? Why is He laid in a feeding trough for animals? Why is He in that smelly cave or stable? Whatever it was exactly, we don't know. It may have been a combination of hole in the rock and a wooden structure. Why is He there? Well, I think one reason, among others, besides, of course, to obey the Heavenly Father, one reason is so that even the most poor and mean and contemptible of members of the human race can relate to Him. What if Jesus had been born in a palace, as would have been most befitting? The poor, the despised, the lowly of the world would have felt it a little harder to approach Him. And there are always those members of the human race, the downtrodden, the despised, the poor, the lowly. But when they see Him in the exact same condition that they are, then they know how loved they are and that there's hope for them too. So Jesus is obeying His Heavenly Father. These were the circumstances in which He was to be born. No room in the inn, so a stable will have to do. A crib will have to supply. A crib of straw and hay. Mary is there because she is obeying. She obeyed when the angel Gabriel appeared to her 9 months before and said, essentially, God wishes you to be His mother. Will you say yes? And she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Mary would have liked to have laid Jesus in the finest bed, in the most beautiful of circumstances. But she knew this is the will of God. So she obeys. Saint Joseph, as any good father, any good husband would feel terrible that Mary, my espoused wife, has to give birth to Jesus in these kind of circumstances. But he knows too, this is the will of God. And so he's there out of obedience as well. So my dear brethren, Christmas is about love. Christmas is about humility. Christmas is about obedience. The stable is a lesson to all of us to obey the holy will of God in our lives. Some 30 years later, Jesus would preach to the crowds on the Mount of Beatitudes. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Long before he preached that, he lived it. He taught us to obey the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? Well, very clearly from God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. That is the will of God. The commands, the teachings of His holy church. This is God's will. He told the apostles, especially to Peter, the first pope, "He who hears you hears me." In other words, I am not going to continue to walk the earth and say, people submit to me individually, I am the incarnate God. No, I am giving you my authority. And when people obey you, they are obeying me. But then we look at the history of the human race, and what do we see? As a rule, we see so often rebellion and disobedience to God and to His church. It's a hard thing for us, isn't it, to obey? Do we want to do God's will? No, we don't. We want to do our will. And yet, we're not going to get to heaven doing our will, my dear brethren. We get to heaven by praying and truly meaning, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, look at the ruin brought upon our human race by a single grave disobedience by our first parents. But fortunately, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and His Son would fix that sin, and His Holy Mother would participate as the second Eve in obeying the will of God. And we also, my dear brethren, find the will of God in the circumstances of life, the things that we wish would not happen to us, but we recognize them as God having allowed them in our lives. Just think of the continual obedience that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are going to practice. They're there in the stable. And then, of course, they get word that Herod is out to kill Jesus. So it's God, that circumstance, God allowed that evil act on Herod's part. They're going to have to flee to Egypt and stay there in a foreign, inhospitable land until it's time to come back. And they won't come back until the angel comes and tells Joseph what the will of God is. Now you may go back. And then Jesus will live there for 30 years in obedience to His mother. We don't know at what point St. Joseph would die. It's very obvious that it happened sometime before His public ministry. We don't know exactly when. Of course, it would have been after Jesus was 12 years old, because as we know the story from Scripture, how Jesus was lost for 3 days and Joseph and Mary were seeking to find Him. So St. Joseph was obviously alive then. But there's God teaching us. So my dear brother, what we need to do is pray meaningfully that prayer, "Thy will be done." To recognize where in our lives we are not submitting to God's will. And obviously that's where sin happens. Sin is always some act of refusing to submit to God's will. We choose to do what we want to do instead of what God's will is. And there it is in the Ten Commandments. And fortunately, weak, frail human beings that we are, we're going to at times disobey one of God's commandments. But we repent and we try again. We strive to become more obedient in the future. And then we try to see the will of God better in the good things and the bad things that happen in our lives. And that leads me to one other point that we see in the stable, one other virtue you might call it, and this is what makes obedience easier, and that is surrender. Yes. Surrender is where we don't fight God's will in our lives, where we accept it better. Now, there's different ways of surrendering. There's a surrender of force. This happens, say, for example, when one army is defeated in battle and it surrenders. It's not a surrender of love, as you can well imagine. It's a surrender of inevitability, a surrender of can't do anything else. And often those that are surrendering are hating their captors. But what else can they do? They are powerless. That's not the surrender that we would have to God. Surrender, in this sense, can only happen out of love. And it's an act of trust, where we love and trust God enough to realize that He is really in charge of our lives, not we. And once we surrender, it becomes easier to obey. It becomes easier to be humble. We recognize our dependence. And this is, of course, the beauty of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It's just a surrender, an act of surrender, a loving surrender, a trustful surrender, where we recognize that it's better for us not to be the one in charge of our lives. It's better when God, especially through the hands of our Blessed Mother, we ask or recognize that it's better for them to be in charge of, in our lives. And there's a peace that comes through that. So my prayer for you is I ask that you make it your prayer for me, is that we could surrender a little bit better in 2010 than we have in our lives past, our times past. And sometimes all we can do is pray that we can surrender. You know, it's not something easy to do at times, especially when the crosses get heavy and it's difficult to accept God's will in our lives. But it is always better that way. And let us just pray that we grow in our trust and grow in our love so that we can make that act of surrender, so that we may better walk in the footsteps of Him and of her who truly did the will of the Heavenly Father, Jesus, Mary, and of course, Saint Joseph as well. A blessed new year to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.